This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to have the Iceman, Jonathan Davis, join the program here to talk all things Game 5 down in Raleigh tonight for the Stanley Cup Final. And then we're going to talk some soccer here with Brad Thomas to get us ready here and primed and ready for the World Cup, which does begin today. Of course, Team USA will get on the pitch tomorrow. A wild comeback that we saw last night in Madison Square Garden, the Knicks down 29. If you went to bed, you wake up today, you're going, what happened? It's a shock to the system, the biggest comeback in the history of the NBA Finals. They have a commanding 3-1 lead, overwhelming favorites, $5 betting favorites now to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy this year. But Jensen, it wasn't just in the NBA last night that we saw some craziness. It was also in Major League Baseball. Let's discuss that and what we might see today in this edition of the Daily Diamond. All these wild comebacks in basketball, certainly in hockey, in the Stanley Cup Final, and in baseball last night. At least I appreciate the Mets just going down without a whimper. Just no fight as they get beat down again. Second day in a row by the Cardinals. Look, we talked a lot about this Cardinal team here, Jensen. They don't seem to go away. And the Mets right now, a path of least resistance.
Mets are only 6 games out of a playoff spot. So there is still hope here. And what is still a very wild and jumbled wild card picture there in the National League. Same thing in the junior circuit for the American League. Dave, we're getting to that time of year where temperatures increase and you're starting to see the ball carry a bit more. And even as we start to reach those humid temperatures, I know you're feeling it there in Tennessee. We got it in earnest here in Northeast Ohio the last couple of days. So it's nothing but overs for me so far, looking at an abbreviated slate. One place that it is not affected by the conditions, because they do have the retractable roof there in Miami, I still like the over for this scenario setting up this afternoon. Diamondbacks and Marlins series finale, Merrill Kelly, Tyler Phillips on the mound here. Dave, Arizona as a road dog, 14-8-2 to the over, and the Marlins are averaging 5.5 runs per game offensively in the month of June. We are set up, I think, for what I believe is a subdued total. I actually played the over 8, the alternate total, over 8 at minus $1.31. I do think we get some early offense. I thought we were going to get an easy over yesterday. Marlins had 8 runs, through 6 innings? Yeah. Not a run after that. So I pushed on my over 8 yesterday. We're going right back to the well because I think both these teams have a chance to put up some early fireworks. Same thing in Comerica Park. Twins and Tigers. Tigers are starting to play a little bit better. And don't look now, but all of a sudden, that divisional deficit is down to 8.5 games. Chicago, the White Sox, your first place team as we wake up today, a half game ahead of the Cleveland Guardians. But as this matchup sets up today, Zebby Matthews, Cater Montero, I like the over 9 at minus $1.23. Again, the Twins really good to the over as a road underdog, which they are this afternoon, 14-8-1. To the over in that scenario. And then Cater Montero has had 4 of his 8 home starts have 9 runs or more scored combined. So I think we're in for a little offensive surge there. Your Royals, buddy, yesterday it took extra innings. It got over for me. I know you were looking for the win for the June win total, but I think we're going right back to some more offense here for Fountains Up. Afternoon affair, we've got Kumar Rocker and Michael Wacha on the bump today. Texas is averaging 5.1 runs per game offensively in their last 11 contests. And Kansas City, in their last 9 games played, Dave, there is an average of at least 10 runs scored combined. No resistance whatsoever on the mound here for these two teams. So I think the over 9.5 at minus $1.37, that's what I'm playing. Totals are upwards of 10.5. I'm going to buy down a little bit just in case. So it's an alternate over 9.5 minus $1.37 between the Rangers and the Royals from Kauffman Stadium for me.
Let me ask you a couple of big picture questions, and one that I'm anticipating to put in my portfolio for a team that you know that I've been on and I really like this year. They've won 4 games in a row. We just talked about them down there in South Beach. They're 2.5 games out of a wild card spot right now, but the market hasn't really adjusted yet on them to make the postseason. It was around 10-1. I'm still seeing 8-1 for the Marlins to make the postseason. Now, I get it. The Phillies are ahead of them. The Padres are ahead of them as the 2-3 spots right now. And the Pirates, I think we believe have staying power. They're a half game back. It would be the Cardinals to me, theoretically. Like, what team would you have to move out? I know the Cardinals right now, the first wild card team in the National League, and they're 3 games in the lead for that top spot there. Do you handicap it that way and actually look at the teams, or are you just looking at the games back? And in that category, it's just 2.5.
Games back wise, I've usually had a hard and fast rule. At the All-Star break, which is traditionally 2.5 weeks before the trade deadline, if you're within 3.5 games, then I think you've got an opportunity for not only a make the playoffs price, but depending on where the divisional deficit, I usually don't go past 5 games. When you get to the trade deadline, Dave, if you're 5 games or farther away from the top spot in the division, that might eliminate the divisional price for me. So the magic number for me is usually 3.5 games, both at the All-Star break and then at the trade deadline, at least heading into the day of, because that's where teams will look, okay, we're a series sweep away from being in a playoff spot. As it pertains to your Marlins, and I think you're on to the fish here, pitching-wise, they are 13th in pitching wins above replacement in the major leagues right now at 6.8. That's pretty good considering the crop that's in front of them. And you're thinking of nationally teams like the Padres. Your Mets actually have been very solid. They're 10th now in big league baseball. Atlanta is 9th, Pittsburgh 5th, Milwaukee 4th. So looking at some of the other teams you got to run down, LA is first, the Dodgers are first, the Phillies are second. They're both really, really outstanding. But I think Miami would be in the market not only for an additional bullpen arm. You can kind of say that about any contender. Every contender is in line for a reliever or two. But man, if they can find one more bat to lengthen the lineup, that's a scary club. And consider this, yeah, Dave, when you look at where the Marlins rotation is right now, and that was kind of something we looked at, especially in our VSiN MLB betting guide. Max Meyer has been their best starter all year. Sandy Alcantara has been much, much better, and his body of work is really solid. Still flying under the radar, I think. They've got some injuries they've been dealing with. Yuri Perez on the IL since the end of May. Jansen Junk, who actually threw the ball really well for them early in the season, has had the shin inflammation. That also since the final week of May. They get healthy, this is going to be a rotation that could use the internal kind of health from getting better in that regard. Because the back end of their bullpen, Dave, the Miami Marlins have allowed the fewest hits per nine and the fewest homers per nine while having the fourth best strikeout per nine ratio in big league bullpens this year. That is huge. If they can knock down their walks per nine, that's a really solid unit. That's how you win series. That's how you find your way into October baseball.
I bring that up in context when you look at the junior circuit in the American League, and that the Marlins, again, for those waking up today and go, really, they're only 2.5 games back, and they're 8-1 to make the postseason. Flip that to the junior circuit. Two teams, Detroit and Kansas City, 12 games under 500 each, have shorter numbers than the Marlins to make the postseason at 6-1 for Kansas City, wow, and Detroit is 5-1. And these teams are 5.5 games back in the American League. And Jensen, I think I can figure out why those numbers would appear to be off. It's because we look at the American League top to bottom and go, it just doesn't have the depth right now that the senior circuit has in the National League. And maybe there is the double chance, right, that if the White Sox don't keep this up, if the Guardians keep coming back to the pack, maybe there's an outside shot to do what Cleveland did last year to Detroit, and one of these teams that look like bottom feeders run them down in the American League Central. Is that the reason why you see that juxtaposition in the number, that there does feel like there's an outside shot that it's not just wild card or bust?
Yeah, sure. And just food for thought. This is still wild to look at. Dave, of the teams on the outside looking in the American League, wild, if the American League playoffs started today, your top wild card team would be the Yankees. Number two would be the Guardians. And that final team in would be the Texas Rangers. There is not one team on the outside looking in the American League race that has a positive run differential. In fact,
yeah,
the best team as far as run differential are the Boston Red Sox on the outside looking in. They are second to last in the American League record-wise, yet they are only 5.5 games out of a playoff spot. I am telling you, there are going to be buy-low opportunities left, right, and center for the American League, make the playoffs prices. You mentioned the Houston Astros just a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. They're 3.5 games out. Now, they have a terrible run differential. They're minus 38. I still don't trust their pitching whatsoever. They can hit, but are they going to trade Christian Walker? You know, Yordan Alvarez has been great. Do you even dangle him out there? That's waving the white flag. Boston got bad news. They don't know what the timeline for Garrett Crochet coming back could be. They've got questions offensively. Kansas City, as bad as they've been, David, they've been bad. They're 5.5 out of a playoff spot. It is ridiculousness, or as you like to say, theater of the absurd on the junior circuit. There are so many teams still alive, and there are so many buy low opportunities just on the American League side for teams that have gotten off to slow starts that might be able to catch fire. Remember your Toronto Blue Jays ticket last year, buddy. They were very average in the first half. They catch fire in the second half. The rest is history.
The Red Sox are 6-1 to make the postseason. How about this from the boys in Charm City?
Man.
The Orioles are plus 250. I mean, it's insane the short numbers that are out there because nobody feels like they're good in the American League, right? Who's good in the American League right now? It's amazing. Look at the numbers, and then you see how tough it is to try to run that narrative here in the National League because there's a lot of good teams in the senior circuit. Two really good teams still left in the Stanley Cup Final. That would be Carolina and VGK. Who's going to win tonight and take command of the series? Jonathan Davis gives us his expertise next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Thursday morning. Going to have Brad Thomas join the program here as we get ready to kickstart the World Cup coverage. We'll have our best bets coming up before this show is done. But what a pleasure it is to welcome back the Iceman himself. Jonathan Davis does a great job up and down the network here, breaking down the Stanley Cup Finals and hockey in general. Give him a follow on X as we do at West Coast Hockey NHL. That's HKY NHL at the end of that handle. And joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. JD, it was so great to hang out with you. It was fun to watch basketball with a hockey guy as we were rooting for that over that didn't get there after that terrible turnover by Wemby. And then we went to Andiamos and our guy Miguel took care of us. We had a blast at Andiamos. JD, have you gotten enough sleep after what was the portions that you had at Andiamos?
I had a 20-ounce ribeye. I think I did about 18 and a half ounces of the ribeye. It was to die for. It was a great time. And yeah, I mean, I've never got into a basketball game like I did when we were watching on Saturday. I don't even remember anymore, Dave.
The days run together. We were there last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. But no, it was great. It was great catching up. And Jensen, we were thinking of you 100% entire time. Yes, we had a table for four. You know, we had the ceremonial. Actually, I ate enough for you, Jensen, that night.
Hey, next time we will break some bread. I promise a little baptism with a very fine Brunello for all of us to enjoy. Miguel, as good as it gets, one of the best in the business. Speaking of best in the business, JD, Dave and I have had this debate, and it is one of the weird parts of the odds market. Mitch Marner now odds on to win Conn Smythe, and we try and re-educate people all the time. Conn Smythe, one of the weird little caveats, it is the entire postseason, not just the finals. And what I'm going to ask you is, with the recency bias, let's say Carolina wins this thing. Is there a way that Mitch Marner doesn't win it? And by virtue of that, what would the pivot be in your eyes? Is it Stahl because he's flavor of the moment? And if he does continue this surge here, he would be the logical guy. Is it Bussy because of the goalie change and he's the reason why they got the momentum back? How would you handicap it if you don't think Marner wins it if Carolina wins the cup? Do we live in a world where that is possible?
100%. And look, I'm hoping Jordan Stahl wins it because I grabbed him at 100-1 prior to game four. And I know I was talking to Mitch Moss, and he said that even after the first goal that Stahl scored, he scored two in game four, he was still at 175-1 at FanDuel. Wow. And he just wasn't able to grab it because out in Vegas, you can't get to FanDuel. But no, I don't think if Mitch Marner, like Mitch Marner's not having that Connor McDavid playoff where Connor had 20 more points than the next closest player, you know, in the scoring race. So absolutely, you know, if it's Carolina right now, yeah, it would, you know, it, Jordan Stahl definitely legit. I mean, he's now down to what, plus 550, 6-1, you know, in some spots. You know, Logan Stankoven's another guy you have to consider, you know, just because of the fact that they're 10-0 in the playoffs when he scores a goal. So I think that there, yes, there are a lot of other options other than Mitch Marner.
Is it a foregone conclusion that you just stick with Brandon Bussy now if you're Rob Brind'Amour after making the goalie change here from Frederik Andersen? He had mentioned that Freddie needed rest. Well, now he's got plenty of rest as being just the emergency goaltender back in game four. JD, what does this look like going forward? Is it Bussy or bust?
Well, I think it's Bussy or bust. I mean, I would have been surprised if it wasn't Bussy, you know, even after game three. You know, that to me was, it just was the obvious choice on how well he played in taking over from Freddie Andersen. Yeah, you can't go back to Freddie. And, you know, the Brandon, you know, look, and Brandon Bussy played, he's in much more control when he's on the ice. Vegas still found a way to score three on him, but I'm not really putting that on Bussy. And, you know, like Carter Hart has done many times, even though the fact that Carter Hart's right now the first goalie to give up four in four consecutive Stanley Cup finals, you know, there's been a lot of big saves that Carter Hart has made. And Bussy, you know, made a couple, one on Jack Eichel late in the game and two on Pavel Dorofeev earlier. So I don't, you know, John Tortorella says it best. I don't worry about save percentage. I look at when he makes those key saves and at what point in the game.
Totally agree. All right. So as we descend upon game five tonight, I know you've got a fair amount of props. As always, though, I love to go to your multi-unit prop plays here tonight, JD. You've got a three-unit banger that I think is incredibly live. And I told Dave, show me evidence that we could have scoring regression. If you have any, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. And that's where I think we are tonight. Give me your three-unit banger you got here, a little three-leg parlay to get home.
Yeah, it's the same thing I've done, you know, in all four games of the series. I played both teams at plus 2.5 goals, so the alt puck line. And then you can either parlay it with the way I did it, over 4.5, or if you can't do the 4.5 for whatever reason and you can get both teams to score two, you're going to get the same price at plus 103. I just, you know, the games have all been tight. We've had, you know, every game's essentially been one goal. Even, you know, game four was a two goal game and it took an empty net. So we're not getting three goal margins and we're going to get to five, no problem. Like I at the very worst, I see a 3-2 final. So that's why I like this parlay.
You know, JD, I know everybody thinks you just came out to Vegas so we could go to Andiamos and watch basketball together, but you were there covering the Stanley Cup final, watching both those games up close and personal. You'll be going back to Vegas for a game six. When this series goes back to Vegas for that game six, who's going to be leading this thing? Because I don't know what you've seen up close and personal. I can't get a read from watching it on TV. Who do you think takes a 3-2 lead tonight?
Well, I'm going to stick with the trends and the trends, you know, look, the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, were the team to play in number four coming off of a loss. They've now won 14 consecutive games dating back to the regular season off a loss. The Vegas Golden Knights have won 9 straight odd numbered series games in the playoffs. And they've only lost back to back once under John Tortorella. And that was games 2 and 3 against Utah. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Vegas tonight. I mean, look, you're getting plus money. Throw a dart. I mean, really, at the winner tonight and wherever it lands, take it because you can't figure out. I mean, look, even in the building, everyone I was talking to, you know, even when Vegas was down 2-1 and 3-1, everyone said, no, Vegas is coming back. They're winning this game. You know, they got to 3-3. But, yeah, I'm going with Vegas. I like Vegas tonight.
As far as Vegas props, I know you've got a couple of looks here. One would be with Mark Stone, the other with Brett Howden. Your thoughts on the two props you have with those two guys tonight?
Sure. I mean, Brett Howden, how can you not play him for an anytime goal? I mean, the number keeps dropping for a guy, you know, at 12 goals in the regular season in 58 games. Here he is leading the Stanley Cup playoffs with 14. You just have to. I mean, it's a small bet for me. He's now down to plus 240. He was well over $4, you know, up until about game two of this of the Stanley Cup Finals. But I still got to grab him. Mark Stone has had at least three shots on goal in the game, so I'll grab him.
All right, I think we're having some issues there with JD's connection, so try to get him back. But he does like VGK tonight, obviously, to win this game. And he's got that here at a plus $1.26. And he does have that three-way parlay. And it kind of does feel correlated a little bit here, Jensen, when you look at some of JD's plays. He does like Mark Stone over 2.5 shots on goal tonight and get that at plus $1.50. You mentioned the Brett Howden goal. Anytime goal is plus 240. So he's got that in pocket. But he does like goals, period. And again, you've been on the over as well. So he's got that very interesting one. Vegas over 2.5 goals or more. The Canes over 2.5 goals or more. And that's going to get him a three-unit play here. That's pretty amazing at plus $1.03. And again, until you stop it, Jensen, I think you're going to go with that theory. And JD, I think we have you back here on the progressive guest line.
Yeah,
it is correlated, right? You like the over, you like goals tonight, and that's what gets you on some of these props here on Howden anytime goal and Stone over 2.5 shots on goal.
Yeah, I mean, look, you got to keep riding Brett Howden, and for Mark Stone, you know, look, you know. Here's a guy that's just been generating a lot of shots. I think it's 11 shots on goal in the last three games. I mean, all over it in game number three. And again, Jordan Staal. I mean, you have to ride the hot hand. He's now the fourth player in Stanley Cup history to score a goal in each of the first four games. He leads the series with 5 goals. He's generating shots as well. So, you know, it's not just like one goal, one shot. He's also had 3 shots on goal in 3 of the last 4 games, and at least 2 shots on goal in all 4 games of the series. So that's my approach there with both Staal and Mark Stone. Just keep riding the hot hand until they give us a reason not to.
And you'll get all of JD's plays if you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, so check that out before that puck drops tonight, Game 5 in Raleigh. Jonathan, it really was cool to hang out and break bread. I hope we get to do it again. We'll get Jensen out there and the whole crew have some fun at Andiamo's, and Miguel, I'm sure, would love to be our server. We had a lot of fun on Friday night. So again, puck drop tonight, game 5. You're going to be on the Vegas Golden Knights at plus money to take that three games to 2 lead here tonight down there in Raleigh. When we come back, let's get our best bets here on the board, because we're going to have Brad Thomas join the program here. We're going to be kicking off the World Cup later on today. So lots to get to right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Championship season is upon us, and VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. For a limited time, lock in the early bird pricing on our football season special, which is just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. Full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl in February. That means the continuing drama that is the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, World Cup, which kicks off today, plus Major League Baseball all summer long. Going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And later on this month, June 22nd, going to release our NFL betting guide to attack futures, win totals, divisional races, and the full season ahead. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Great conversation with Jonathan Davis. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Take a listen on your time, whether it's Mike Palm, whether it was Greg Peterson in hour number one, or Brad Thomas, who's coming up next on the program here to break down the World Cup as that kicks off today. But as we've been doing every day on this program here, Jensen, I've been breaking down the main card here, which is, it's only a 7-fight card here at the White House on Saturday, or excuse me, on Sunday night. We got to get used to that here. And right now, if you've been watching on social media, it looks like it's going to be something to behold. And it's going to be just absolutely wild watching these fights on the lawn of the White House. Now, we don't know if we're going to get some rain. And yes, we're actually talking about weather to handicap fights. And that could play a part in the next fight that I want to discuss here. And it's a guy that's been a fast tracker here in the UFC heavyweight division, Josh Holkett. Now, I know that Josh rubs people the wrong way, and he does that by design. He's going to get up on the mic. He's going to say outlandish things. But I heard Steve Garcia, who's going to kick off this card against Diego Lopez, the meme machine, say, you know, the guy I know is a pretty nice guy. This is the way we do now with entertainment and fighting. And sometimes those lines get a little bit blurred. So nobody's rooting for Josh Holkett. Maybe there's some people out there against Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis is beloved by the organization. And Derek Lewis is a massive underdog against Josh. Now, there is danger in backing the Holkett side here and just laying that big price point here on Josh. What's the danger? Derek Lewis has maybe the best punching power in the heavyweight division, arguably that we've ever seen. Francis Ngannou would have a conversation about that as well. But we know how hard of a hitter the Black Beast is. So the way that I want to play this here at the White House on Sunday night is the incredible Holkett by KO against our great, beloved Derek Lewis. Again, I'm not betting on sentiment. I'm not betting with my heart. I'm going to bet with my head. And Josh is just too quick right now. He's got very quick hands. He's one of the, again, one of the smaller heavyweights out there. So he can and should have that speed advantage. And dare I say, if we're being perfectly blunt about Derek Lewis here in recent outings, he's quit. He's turtled up. He's gone to his back and said, I don't want any more. And I just wonder after if Josh can survive some of those haymakers that Derek Lewis is going to put out there. And he goes underneath those and he gets to that body and Derek Lewis falls, it's over. If Derek Lewis hits the mat at the White House, there is no live dog scenario. He is live if he can keep it standing, but this is also a really good wrestler in Josh Holkett that we're seeing here. So you see one heavyweight emerging, one heavyweight moving up, and we see another one, the Black Beast, that's starting to descend in the twilight of his UFC career. So I'm happy that Derek Lewis is getting this opportunity on a big spotlighted card at the White House. They don't get any bigger than this. But again, people, I urge you to bet with your head, not with your heart. I know what you're thinking out there. We all want to support Derek Lewis and hopefully shut this guy up. I don't think it's going to happen. That's not the way my dollar is going to go. It's Josh by KO. You can get that around $1.20 out there in the marketplace. This fight is not going the distance. And again, if it does go the distance, I'll play this clip on Monday to show that I was wrong. But because there's no chance that this thing goes 15 minutes, you got to find an inside the distance. That's Holkett. I can't see a submission coming at all. It's going to be a KO. And that's how you can knock down that massive favorite to about $1.20. And that's the way I'm playing the Holkett against Derek Lewis fight. So in summary, very quickly, all week long, again, betting with the head, not the heart. Cyril Gane against Alex Pereira. If you've seen the pictures of Pereira, he looks huge. And I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. Sean O'Malley is a parlay piece. I think against Amy Zahabi is a very good play as well. And the only dog, the biggest dog in the card that I think is live is Michael Chandler against Mauricio Hufi. And again, he's got to make that grimy get inside. But at that price point at almost 5-1, I'm willing to take a chance with Chandler, but I'm not willing to take that chance with Derek Lewis. Jensen, that's what I've got so far. We will break down the main event coming up tomorrow, Ilya Topuria against Justin Gaethje. It is a spectacular seven fight card here that we have at the White House. And I'll get to that main event tomorrow. And of course, we'll have Lou Finocchiaro on the show as well. You've got some baseball plays, and I think you like some overs that we're seeing out there with the wind starting to blow out and the temperatures rising here across the country.
Yeah, we're going to see it. And I think we go back to a couple of places that have already seen a boatload of runs in their current series. Let's go back to PNC Park. Dodgers and Pirates have been an overfest here so far. Why not do it again? Over 8.5, going to play an alternate over run line, excuse me, total here minus $1.51. Dodgers will send out Justin Robleski. All that's happened in his starts this year, Dave, Dodgers averaging over 6.5 runs of support in his start so far this season. Pittsburgh, not too shabby either when Mitch Keller takes the mound. 5 runs of support, the average, when MKG gets out on the mound there for the Buccos. So over 8.5, minus $1.51. Would expect that to be a big scoring night, as do I think there in Charm City. Camden Yards, another overfest there yesterday. I think we get it again tonight. Dave, this is a wild statistic. 10 or more runs combined in the last 2 road games started by Brian Wu of the Seattle Mariners. 10 or more runs combined in 3 consecutive games started by the Baltimore Orioles ace Kyle Bradish. We are not going to get in front of this freight train. We are just going to ride it. Over 8.5, minus $1.06 between the Mariners and the O's. You're seeing a theme here, people, if you're just joining us. Lots of overs, lots of elevated temperatures, and the day game slate side too, Dave, I think holds serve as well. Twins and Tigers over 9 at minus $1.23. Twins are 14-8-1 to the over as a road dog. And in 4 of the 8 home games started by Keter Montero for the Tigers, there have been at least 9 runs scored combined in those outings. Fountains up at Kauffman Stadium, Rangers and Royals. Same refrain. We got there even with extra innings last night to an over. We're going to go right back to the well here, play an alternate over 9.5, minus $1.37. Texas has been averaging over 5 runs a game offensively in their last 11 games. And Kansas City, in their last 9 contests overall, 10 runs or more combined, the average scoring. So I think elevated temperatures and humidity there provide a lot of offense, as it does at Comerica Park. We have 5 total overs on the card today, and we'll add the Diamondbacks and the Marlins over 8, minus $1.31. Yes, the roof will be on, but a lot of runs being scored here across Major League Baseball this afternoon.
We just had Jonathan Davis on. He does like VGK to get the outright win tonight down there in Carolina. He's playing that at plus money here to take a 3-2 lead. Now, the story of the day, obviously we've talked about it a lot on the program today, is the Spurs blowing a 29-point lead last night in Game 4. We'll talk about more of this game in earnest tomorrow, because Game 5 is not set for until Saturday night back in San Antonio. But we do have numbers up on that game here, 5.5 to the way the Spurs, and 216.5. That under hitting last night, boy, count your lucky stars if you had that one, with San Antonio only scoring 30 points in the second half. It's down to 5 here in some spots. Again, you go back to the analogy of the Cavaliers game 1 in the Eastern Conference Final, blowing that 20-plus lead with under 8 minutes to go in regulation, and they never recovered from that. Jensen, is there any way with your money, could you back the Spurs and lay 5.5 on Saturday night? Feels pretty hefty after the ending of that game last night.
I don't think I can. This is, to use your UFC analogies here, this feels like a 3rd or 4th round haymaker that, oof, you know, you're in that submitting position and you've got like 1.5 minutes left on the clock for the round here. How you get out of that chokehold or things of that nature, I don't know. For what it's worth, Dave, if there is a bet to be made, the Spurs have been automatic on the first quarter spread. And I wouldn't get away from that. If you're looking for glass half full, if you're a Spurs fan, that would be my only play immediately. But boy, does this feel like a coronation? What will Celebrity Row look like there in San Antonio? And how many Knicks fans are going to travel to a much more affordable venue to get into the AT&T Center when we get there on Saturday night?
OG Anunoby making a late push for MVP. I think Kat's ship has sailed on that front if the Knicks win it. Brunson has now gone to odds on at minus $1.40, so I understand that. But, boy, I'm with you. I love the UFC analogy there. It feels like they're about to tap out here, the Spurs, after blowing somehow a 29-point lead in the second half. Okay, Brad Thomas is going to join the program in the very next segment. We're getting ready to get on the pitch here for the World Cup. Very excited about that. So we'll get the prospects of the games that are going to go on today. And we just don't want any craziness for the Team USA like we saw for San Antonio and like we've seen in the Stanley Cup Final, where no lead is safe. Let's hope that USA can grab a lead in game number 1 and hold it. We'll discuss all of those things with Brad Thomas next right here on VSiN by the Books. We'll be right back.
by the books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the books on this Thursday morning. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. We're very excited about the beginning of the World Cup. Two matches on display today. Team USA will get underway tomorrow. A privilege to welcome Brad Thomas to the program here, Sportsline betting analyst. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Brad Thomas. And we were kind of kidding during the break here, Brad, that while we're all excited for the actual games, the lead up to it by seeing the Europeans and the rest of the world come to the United States and experience our heat and our cuisine, Brad, it seems like they've been a little thrown by this. And I think maybe one for the worse and one for the better.
No, it's been absolutely fantastic to watch. Like, people going to Buc-ee's was hilarious. Finding out that Europeans don't have ranch might have blown my mind more than anything else. And quick, funny story. I was actually at the England Costa Rica friendly yesterday, and there were a lot of people who came to England. Obviously, Orlando's a good destination to take our holiday because then you go straight to Disney. But there was a group of people from England in front of me, and the two ladies were like, patting their hair down, and they're like, oh my God, my hair's so messed up. And I was like, yeah, welcome to the humidity of Orlando, Florida. It will do that to your hair.
Brad, the hysterical part for me too was watching people that have routinely watched a lot at Tottenham Hotspur or Emirates, Wembley, get a full frontal of what Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn looks like. Even the best of, there's an eagle flying through the stadium. These people are going to be mind blown. God help them if they ever come back for an SEC football weekend. Well, we're here for the real football, and it gets underway in earnest today. Couple of matches today, couple of matches tomorrow. Let me first get your big picture feel of where we are for teams that you feel are viable to not only win the cup, but maybe some other teams we should keep our eye on that could advance deep into the knockout round.
Yeah, I think if you want to see who's live to win this tournament, you look at the odds boards, you count down from 1 through 8, stop at 8, and you eliminate everyone else. Realistically, underdogs don't win this tournament. I think over the last 10 World Cups, Italy was the longest favorite, longest price winner, at 18-1. It's just, these teams are just too stacked and they're too good. And they're so deep. When you're playing in a tournament like this, especially now with the extra round, because it's an expanded field of 48, depth is going to be your friend, right? Like, it's going to be hot, especially for the outdoor venues. It's going to be a lot of football. And these guys had really long seasons. So you think about the smaller teams or the teams that are priced higher, they're not really deep. But I mean, Spain, France, England, those are your run-of-the-mill favorites. If you really want to get cheeky and get a long shot that I think is pretty fun, I'm going to bypass the Netherlands and the Portugals and go all the way down to the 40-ish range and go with Colombia. That's a team that has a really good defense. They have some attacking talent as well. And, you know, before their really rough patch, it was a team that went 28 matches unbeaten. So they do have that kind of backing of being able to be an elite team.
Brad, I do this every 4 years. I was telling Jensen, I'm showing my age here, but we can go back to the 90s and you go to bars and, you know, I believe that we will win. You do the chants and everybody, we get into it as a country once every 4 years here, but then we get disappointed. And then we go, why aren't we better in soccer, right? That's the conversation every 4 years. Why aren't we up there with the American exceptionalism? Taking on Paraguay tomorrow to get on the pitch to begin their World Cup this year. Will it be different for Team USA this year, Brad? And what are your realistic expectations?
Will it be different? I don't think so. I think there's also a problem with the casual World Cup fan, not saying that they're a problem, but with their expectations of the United States. And they don't look at it as a holistic view of where football, soccer is in America versus other countries. I think a round of 16 appearance is a really good World Cup from a realistic standpoint. But if you talk to any, you know, casual fan, they want to compete. But we're just not that good of a nation in terms of soccer development, right? You have to remember a lot of these teams that are the best teams in the world, soccer is their main sport, which means their athletes, their best athletes are kicking a ball from the age of 2. And with us, it's a select few of our best athletes. Not saying that these athletes aren't really good at what they do. It's just the talent pool that we're pulling from is much smaller than a team like England or Brazil or Argentina.
Brad, we have two matches today. They will both be in Mexico, and it is the host Mexican team that will play South Africa. 3 p.m. Is when we have kickoff. A decided odds on favorite here. Not a surprise. Mexico laying over $2 to be able to win it. Plus 750 for South Africa. The draw at plus 340. Climate-wise, because we were just joking about the temperatures in Florida, the humidity there, and the differences in the rules, and maybe you can help highlight what some of the changes are as far as substitutions, times that the goalie is allowed to hold onto the ball, things of that nature. How does that affect how you would look at these matches that get underway in pool play both today and tomorrow moving forward?
Yeah, the rules changes are fantastic, especially for the casual fans. And I think the rules changes mean the most for this World Cup versus others because of the expanded field, which means more teams have chances to get in. So there are going to be more teams that are going to be time wasting. So if the goalie holds the ball for too long, eight count, then the other team's awarded a corner. If you're throwing it in, you take too long in the corner. I mean, a throw in switches hands. What I really love is the substitution rule. If you're not off the field in X amount of seconds, you have to sit out for an entire minute. Also injuries, for them to make sure they don't fake injuries. If you are on the pitch and you have to be taken out, you have to sit out for at least 1 minute. I think that should balance the playing field here. Weather is going to be an interesting thing to watch, because you think about games being played in Arrowhead, that's going to be very hot. Think about games being played down at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, that's going to be hot and humid. Luckily for tonight, the matches that are played in Estadio Azteca, the weather should be fine. Right now it's raining. It's 73 degrees. It won't be as terrible as some of the other places, but we have to remember this is still 73 degrees, you know, North American weather, not 73 in Europe where everyone's just having fun and out there with their t-shirts off. So I think the weather will play a part. It will be a factor, and it's something that we're gonna have to monitor, especially in terms of teams playing with a little bit more control. I want to mention this, the water breaks are going to break up the speed of the game as well. There's going to be a water break in the 20th minute and what would that be, the 65th minute of the second half.
Breaking down the World Cup here as it begins today in earnest with Brad Thomas. And Brad, when I mentioned USA plus $1.40 to get out of their group stage, one, do you like that bet at plus money for Team USA to come out of Group D? And or two, is there a better betting option that you might see while everybody's looking at USA that you might want to pivot elsewhere?
No, I think you could be pro USA. I actually think you should be pro USA and add a little wrinkle into it. I would take, you could take this Exacta odds. It's an Exacta box for any of the horse racing fans out there, not straight Exacta, any order, one or two, United States or Turkey. It's around plus 155, I believe. I think they're just the cream of the crop of their group. The group is actually rather weak, and I couldn't really split them in terms of who's going to finish first or who's going to finish second. This still gives me really good value, because imagine you're taking, let's say you think Turkey is going to win the group. There's no way United States with the home field advantage are not going to come out of their group. They're only plus 174 to win the group. So you're only really sacrificing 20 cents to get the 1 and 2 versus trying to determine who's actually going to win this group.
Brad, we always hear every 4 years, the group of death, one that everyone kind of looks at and says, oh my God, how are we going to get out of it? Would that be potentially Group I with France and Norway? Senegal has been a really resilient group. Would you look potentially at Group K with Portugal, Colombia? I know you're high on. What's your group of death? And is there a team that you would look at to qualify for the knockout round that may not be on everyone's radar?
I think the group of death is going to be way different this year, because when I look at that group with France, Norway, Iraq, and Senegal, I really think it's not going to be a group of death, because there's going to be three members that are going to come out of there, right? And it's probably going to be France, Norway, and Senegal. I'd actually take it a little step further and see which group can you make a realistic case for all four teams to have a chance to come out. And that, for me, that's Group F. Right? If you're any team that is in Group F, you can make a realistic case that any team could come out of that group, right? You have Tunisia, a team that does not play with fear at all. They like to press, which means any team that presses and they're fearless, they can cause some wreak some havoc. Then you have Sweden with Isak and Jokeres, two really elite attackers on their day, can really wreak havoc. The Dutch, Netherlands team, a really powerful team, one of the tournament dark horses, and then a Japan team that goes under the radar. They play with a really, really high tenacity, strong tenacity. So that's my group of death, because you could say, Brad, any team in this group is going to advance, and I would believe you.
30 seconds to go. I need a winner, Brad. Who is winning the FIFA World Cup this year?
Yeah, I wore this jersey today. I think France is going to win it. This is the best team on paper, top to bottom. It's just if their midfield can cooperate and keep up, but their attack and their defense is second to none.
Plus 475 for Francais to get it done. Brad, appreciate it, man. Great stuff. We're excited for the World Cup. We appreciate you giving us your expertise to get us all fired up for it. We'll have you back on again at another time. So, again, the World Cup getting ready to get underway in earnest today. Two games on tap. Team USA will go tomorrow. So, everybody, if you've been watching right now on FanDuel Sports Network and you want more VSiN, of course, you can access it on VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. We've got a numbers game coming up next, and they're going to talk a lot more World Cup soccer as well. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, they're coming up at you next.